right? Song that is called Going Deeper, and it's by Catch the Fire Ministries, if you want to know. And it talks about our hearts going deeper in God. And there's a scripture in Psalms that says that our deep is crying out to His deep, and His deep is crying out to our deep. And it's kind of like a great exchange of desire. So, Lord, we just ask right now, Lord, that there would be a desire for You in our hearts, Lord, to go deeper today. Lord, a desire to move beyond, Lord, the standards of our normal worship, Lord, and to seek after You in a fresh, new way with all our hearts. Father, we just thank You, Lord, that You are touching every life right at this moment. Because, Lord, as we've come into this place, we've sought You, Lord. We've come to be with You, Lord. We've come to draw near to You, Lord. So we thank You, Lord, that You're going to draw near to us. And right now, Lord, we just ask that all of our thoughts and intentions of our heart that have been distracted and have not been focused on You, Lord, that it would come into a place, Lord, of full direction towards You. That we'd set our gaze on You. That we set our heart on You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for touching every body in this place and that are associated with One Life, Lord, with healing right now in Jesus' name. Healing in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord.
Oh, we cry. mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, 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 is the Lamb. One more time. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, 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 is the Lamb. 'Cause you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
So worthy, 'cause you worthy of it all. You worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve.
All of the glory, it's yours, it's yours. all of the glory, all of the glory. It's yours, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. All of the glory, all of the glory. It's yours, it's yours, it's yours. We give you the glory. Yeah, all of the glory, all of the glory. It's yours, it's yours, it's yours, it's yours. All of the glory, all of the glory. It's yours, it's yours, it's yours.
is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up.
I will put firm foundation. Oh, I stand on a firm foundation. That is Jesus. Yeah, that is Jesus. Yeah, that is Jesus.
none like you, Lord. He's accomplished and what he's doing right now, interceding for us. The angels in heaven rejoice and worship him and glorify him because they see his beauty. So we agree with that beauty that they're seeing. Lord, you are beautiful. Like Eric said, compared to all of this world, Lord, you're beautiful. You're beautiful, Lord. Even though it doesn't make sense, Lord, even you hanging on a cross was beautiful, Lord, because you became our way back to God. You became our place of forgiveness. You became our very life, Lord, on that cross. Yes, Jesus, you're beautiful. Every aspect of your being is beautiful. When we look up in the stars at night and we gaze and we see how amazing they look and how beautiful they are, those are your creation. You made them, Lord, and you're much more beautiful than your creation. When we look at the grandeur of the mountains, or the beauty of the coastal, especially the Oregon coast and all those beautiful rock formations. Lord, you created all of that, and you're more beautiful than that. Jesus, you are beautiful. In comparison, you're massively beautiful. Help our hearts grasp that truth, Lord, that you're beautiful. None compares with you. None compares with you, Lord. Jesus, you're beautiful. Jesus, you're beautiful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He's beautiful. Greet someone, love on someone. We'll be back in a few minutes. Thank you for that awesome worship team. Thank you. You guys enjoy fellowshipping so much. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Okay, if you'd stand with me, we're going to make declarations over the Yakima Valley. At prayer last night, at Herman and Miriam's, that's one of the things we were focusing on, is praying for the valley. And it just, we were joined by Paul and Beth Stadler, which are really great people. They run the healing rooms, and he's been praying with many groups. And so I just encourage you that there's people all over the valley, not just us declaring on Sunday. There's people all over that are believing for God to do a supernatural work in our city, in our valley. So let's join our hearts today with all of those that have been praying for Yakima. Amen. All right. So on three, one, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city would have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Yes, Lord, we do. We agree, Lord, with that. Lord, as you have desired in heaven, Lord, as you have planned in heaven, as you have dreamed in heaven for Yakima to be the place of God, Lord, we agree with that, Lord. We pray, Lord, whatever needs to be done in this valley, Lord, to let your kingdom come, to let your purposes, your plans, your desires for every life, every home, Lord, every family, every marriage, God, every business, Lord, every school, Lord, every place, Lord, where people gather, Father, we pray that that need that is there in their lives, Lord, be met by you, of receiving Jesus, of receiving the gospel, the glorious gospel of Christ, the light of the glorious gospel. Let it shine bright, Lord, in this valley. Lord, help us be lights, Lord. Help us be ones, Lord, that take that message, Lord, by the way that we live, the way that we speak, Lord, the way that we show your love to others, Lord. Help us, Lord, to make a difference, God, in our own workplaces, God, and in our schools, Lord, and in our families, Father, by the way that we love, the way that we live, Lord. I pray, God, that this would be a turning year for the Yakima Valley. Lord, I pray that this would be a time, Lord, that we would see the miracles of God, the miracles, Lord, of healings, the miracles, Lord, of lives restored, the miracles, Lord, of marriages restored, Lord, the miracles of family restored, God. Supernatural works of God, let us see them, Lord. We thank you, God, for what took place even just last night in our small prayer group, God. We thank you, Lord, that you're doing a mighty work. And we agree, Lord, that Yakima Valley, Lord, will be saved. Yakima Valley will receive, Lord, the refreshing of God this year that it needs for restoration and healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, speaking of prayer, we're now in a 21-day prayer and fasting. So if you'd like to join us anytime, you can. If you want to do just a couple days a week, or you want to do in the mornings and then, you know, eat at night, or you want to, you know, just go the full meal deal, all 21 days, go for it. But the idea of praying and fasting is that we get to take this time to focus on the Lord. I was noticing this week, just as we've been starting, that I was sitting there and I noticed that I'm just a little more sensitive to hear his voice. Usually it's like, is that God? I think that might be God. And you kind of, you know, work through it. But now it's like, oh, wow. Okay, Lord. Yeah, I'll do that. And I don't know why we wait so long, you know, before we say, okay, I'm going to really be quiet and really still my heart, you know. But I encourage everyone to do whatever you can to draw closer during this 21 days. And I believe that as we do that, this is another thing that we can do that prepares us to be who God wants us to be in 2026. Amen? Amen. And so speaking of that, we were at, as I said, the Casillas' last night, which was amazing. Wasn't that amazing for those of you who were there? Yeah, I encourage everyone to come to our next prayer meeting. It will be way out in Tyatin, but it will be good. And it's with Tim and Vicky, and that, they live out at 380 Franklin Road. So just go out, you know, the Summit View Extension, and you go to just before you get to Tieton, right? And you guys take a left in Franklin Road. I think it's a couple. Right in Tieton, take a left. Okay. When you see Welcome Tieton, take a left. And then you just go up and then you and take a right. No, take a left. Okay. Don't get lost. Put in the GPS. Eric's saying, let him use the GPS. Okay. So that's at 6:30. So please join us if you can. If you can't make it there, just take some time at home and pray at home with us. Just turn off the TV, turn off multimedia of any kind or social media, and just join us in prayer. Amen? And then... oh, that's it. You know what? We lost our, and it's like, I don't know if God say you don't need a giving slide, but we lost our giving slide. So I just want to continue to let you know that we thank you for everyone that gives to this house and is faithful at your tithes and offerings. And so you can give up front, you can give in the back, and just know that anything that you give, God is going to give back to you. It's just the way that it works. And with that said, Pastor Eric has a message for us. I believe it's about the power of prayer.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I got it for you.
Yeah, thank you. All right. So, yeah, we're going to continue talking about prayer. And I just want to take a moment, actually, for those of you who are in our prayer chain, our text stream, you had seen that we had Nancy had sent out a text message about our Leona Murray, our 8-year-old who was under the weather a few days ago, and then miraculously after that she, like, within 20-30 minutes she was fine, and it was like, oh, she's not sick anymore, cool. And then this morning she was feeling a little bit under the weather. So anyhow, all that to say, as you guys are aware, there is sickness going around. And I don't feel like this is such a bold statement just because I think this is what this church believes, but we don't have to subscribe to the sickness that's going around. We don't have to come under, oh, there's sickness going around, so then I'm just going to get sick. It is what it is. I just have this conviction so heavily in my heart that sickness bows down to my Jesus. Can I say that? Sickness bows down. Ailments bow down to my Jesus. When Jesus is king. When Jesus went to the cross, he paid for it all. He paid for our sins, which, praise God. I don't know if anyone else is thankful that Jesus paid for our sins, right? And not only that, but by his stripes, we are healed. All right, by his stripes, we are healed. And so anytime, the last 3 years, I work at a school. And so, and schools are like a petri dish of just sickness. I was talking to one of the second grade teachers the other day, and she's like, yeah, I had to send 7 kids home in one day because of fevers, because of vomiting, all this stuff, right? So I don't want to pretend, I'm not saying sickness isn't real. Sickness is real. I also want to just make sure that as believers, we are standing in a space where we're saying, I'm going to do my due diligence and make sure I stay healthy. I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to make sure I take my vitamins. I'm going to make sure I work out. I'm going to make sure I do all the things. Also, I'm going to make sure that I lay my life down as Jesus laid his life down. And I'm submitting to his will in my life, that I don't have to be afraid of sickness. And I say that with a sick daughter that just went home. Does that make sense? How do I reconcile that? Because Jesus is still good. Even in the sickness, Jesus is still good. And so I want just to take a moment again, and I just want us to pray for our own bodies. I want us to pray for our family members, our coworkers, our children, anyone that we know that may be dealing with sickness. And can we just be so bold that we would believe that sickness would be at our feet? Can we just be so bold that we would believe that sickness wouldn't be something that we have to deal with? And so, Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you, Jesus, that you are our healer. We thank you, Jesus, you are our provider. God, I just ask right now for every person, Lord, in this room, God, to be touched, Lord, by you. God, that if their body is fighting anything right now in Jesus' name, I declare them healed, Lord, by your blood. God, I thank you so much, Lord, that it is you, Lord, that heals, God. It is not just medicine. It is not just doctors, God. It is you that is our healer, God. And although you use those things, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that even in just a word, God, in a moment, Lord, you could take it away. You could break the fever, God. You could break the cold, God. You could take the nauseousness away, God. You could take the stomach ache away, God, in Jesus' name. You could take the cancer away in Jesus' name. You can take the biggest ailment that we can think of and you could take it away, God, because this is what you do and you are in the healing business. And we thank you so much, Father, that you love us, Lord, that you pour out, Lord, generously pour out, Lord, your love, your healing, your mercies over your children. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I just believe I have this conviction that our words and how we speak and they matter, you know, and that's just not my theology. Like, this is Bible. Like, there's power in our words. And so I would just be so careful. If I can encourage you with anything, I would encourage you in this is watch what you say when it comes to your body. Watch what you say when it comes to, now I'm not talking about faking it, like your snot's running down your face and you're just like, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm healed, right? I'm not talking about that. What I am talking about is making sure that we're not, oh, sickness is going around, we're going to get sick, the whole house is going to get sick. No, like we're children of God, are we not? We are children of the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, are we not? So, This is beyond what I'm talking about, kind of. We're in this prayer series, and I titled this message "Praying Through the Mess." And in a moment, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Jonah 2. But I think that sometimes we can stifle. Or maybe even create our own roadblock for ourselves in when we pray, because we think that I have to have everything in order before I pray, or I need to have all the right words before I pray, or my life needs to be perfect. And all of these are just lies that we've told ourselves. And the fact is that it's in the mess while we are dealing with what we're dealing with, while we are the mess is being created, that we should be on our face before Jesus. It's in that moment where our daughter's going home because she's sick that I should be on my face and praising God even still, right? It's in when you know, however long ago, 10 years ago or so, when our oldest daughter was in the hospital because she had a pneumonia and we nearly lost her, that in the mess, I'm still going to praise my God and lift up prayers. Right, it's in the mess. And so I heard this quote this last week. There's this pastor I follow closely in Northern California, and he said this quote that just shook me. And he said this: the most arrogant posture we can have is a life without prayer, because we are essentially saying, God, I don't need you. The most arrogant posture we can have is a life without prayer. Because again, we are taking ourselves out of the covering of God and saying, God, I don't need what you have for me. I have this figured out. You see this beautifully take place with little kids. I have, you know, my 8 and my 4-year-old, and it's an interesting picture to see when, hey, do you need help doing that? Do you need help opening that? No, I got it. I can do it. Do you need help putting that up there, that up on that thing that's higher than you can reach? No, I can do it. And then inevitably what happens, they realize I can't do it. And then I come in as dad and say, perfect, let me do it. Open the thing, put the thing up, whatever, right? This is us with God. No, I can do it. I got it. I can change this circumstance, right? And I can make it better. If I just try a little harder, right? This is the world's gospel, by the way. And we have to be careful because we could fall into the world's gospel very quickly. The world's gospel is grind, grind, grind. Do what you can. Step on people as you go. Make sure you work harder. Do all this stuff, which there's nothing wrong with hard work. However, God wants to come alongside us and say, son, daughter, let me do it. Amen. Let me do it. So Psalm 145:8 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. John, in 1 John 5:14, in the Passion, I just encourage you, we've talked about it many times. The Passion is such a beautiful translation, and poetically how they say it. It says, since we have this confidence, we also have great boldness before him. For if we ask anything agreeable to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we also know that we have obtained the request we ask of him. Confidence, boldness, praying these things in boldness and confidence. Why wouldn't we draw more near to the Father who wants to draw near to us? Why wouldn't we step closer when that's all he wants from us? Why wouldn't we take time in prayer? Because that's what happens. When we pray, when I pray is when I'm closest to the Lord. When I pray, when I am full of what he has for me, that's when I'm closest to the Lord. I think different. I talk different. I walk different. I treat people different. My perspective changes, right? If we could, I would love to just do a test, right? Where we say, let's take, and I'm sure they have already, let's take these people over here and let's have them pray for 30 days, right? And let's see these people over here and just have them not pray. And let's see how these people versus these people actually change their demeanor, change in how they treat people, change in all these things. Because again, I just have this conviction is that when I'm talking to the Father, I'm making this connection with him that brings me so close to him and that makes me like him. How am I going to be like him if I don't spend time with him? Yeah. It won't happen. Doesn't matter the amount of church we go to. Doesn't matter the amount of book we read, right? If I'm not spending time with him, I'm going to know about him, but I'm not actually going to know him. And that is such a fearful thought to me. It's such a fearful thought to me. We read that verse in the Gospels. If I get to heaven and God says, I don't know you. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. And I've only been on this earth 40 years, but I spent half of my life serving him. And if I die tomorrow and he says, I don't know you, my God, that brings such remorse to my heart. Because what have I been doing for the last 20 years if you don't know me, God? Recently, at my work, I have this coworker. Well, really, actually, she's superior. She's our vice principal. She's one of those really, really active people. Really, 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 really works out a ton. Is obsessed with it. Watches what she eats. Like all this stuff, right? And in December, I had emailed her and I said, "Hey, I would love it if we did something as a staff, like a weight loss thing or something. Like, what if we? Because I work out, and since we live out in Tyton with Tim and Vicky, we're not like super close to a gym, and so it's a little bit more difficult to like get a routine going. And so I try my best, but I was like, I just need a little bit more motivation. So I was like, "Hey, Amy, let's do something, like, because I know I need it. I'm sure there's other people that need it." And she says, "Yeah, like I've actually already had this plan. I was going to send out this email to everybody, and you know, I have this app that like does all the workouts for you. We could like build a workout system." Did it, and I'm like, "Great, let's do it." So January comes. And I meet with we have a weight room at the school, so we meet in the weight room, and there's like seven of us that have signed up out of like the 30 teachers. Seven of us decide, yeah, we want to get healthy, right? And I go in, and can I just admit real quick? Can I be so humble to admit this, that I walked in that room, and when I saw the people in that room, I was like, I have this, I know what I'm doing, right? And because I, you know, I'm not the youngest there, but I'm on the younger side in regards to the teachers. And so, you know, I walk in and I see like there's just people that I could tell like, you know, they're just starting out in this. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Like, this is going to be just a simple, this cute little app that we have, and we're going to go through it, and I'll break a sweat, whatever, right? Day one. And remember, Amy, who's leading this thing, Amy's like, she's built for this. Like, when she leaves doing work in school, I have no doubt she's going to open a gym or she's going to train. Like, she's that person, right? So I open this app. I'm like, okay, looking through it, start my workout. And about halfway through, I realize this nice, sweet vice principal is evil, and I'm sweating, and I'm tired, and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I actually don't know if I can finish this workout. This is so intense. And I get done with it, and I remember talking to her the next day. I was like, that was so much harder than I anticipated. Here's the thing though. I had to level up in my workouts in order to see gains. Right, I actually had to do something different. I was still working out in the same place, right? In our room downstairs, I was still using the same weights. I was just doing something different. And I was leveling up to see gains, and leveling up is hard. So, how does this apply? Your prayer life right now, whatever it is, I want you just to think for a moment. How can I level up my prayer life? How can I take my prayer life just not that what you're doing right now is bad. I'm sure it's great, right? But how do I level it up just a bit? Because I won't see the gains if it's not hard. If I lift the same weights, right? If I lift the same weights and I just keep doing that, at first it's hard, but a month or so in, this is easy, right? My muscles aren't going to actually grow. In the same way, if we're just continuing to do the same thing, the same mundane way, and we wonder, why don't I feel close to God? Well, you've made your relationship with God a routine and not a relationship. And so our prayer life has to be elevated, even if just a little bit. The same way my workout can't be the same, my prayer life can't stay the same. Now I want to jump to Jonah. In Jonah 2 specifically, I believe that we're all fairly familiar with the story of Jonah. It's a great Sunday school story and so forth. But more than that, it's packed so much of just the mercy of God. If God wants to send somebody, He's going to send somebody. And so much stuff. And so in Jonah 2, we're already past the part where Jonah gets called to go to Nineveh, and he does not go, and he gets on the ship, and then all the men realize like something's happening because the ship's going to sink, and he convinces the men to throw him off. And then it says that God provides a big fish. And I always like to point out that even though we like to say it was a whale, or people say that, the Bible says a fish. So, you know, was it a whale? I don't know. The Bible says fish. Jonah 2, he's in the belly of this big fish. And it says this in verse 1, it says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the deed, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. Now, I think it's good to point out that Jonah is realizing that he messed up. Jonah realized that he should have done the thing God called him to do. And I think it's safe to say that Jonah is in a big mess at this moment. And in this moment, in the belly of a big fish, that we don't get the description of what that is, but I could only imagine the smell and just what he was feeling around him, and just not only that, just the thought of a human being in a giant fish, and how scary that would be to be in water, right? So he's feeling all these things and realizing, what if I just would have listened to God and did the thing, would I have been here? Instead, he created this mess now that he's in that he has to pray through. In verse 5, it says, the engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head. To the roots of the mountain I sank down, the earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and the prayer arose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. I encourage everybody, actually, to take, at some point, read Jonah. Jonah is 4 chapters. It is, in my Bible, that right there. That singular page right there. So what did Jonah do to get his breakthrough out of the belly of the fish? He repented. He admitted where he was wrong. He admitted, God, I have made a mess, and that is what led me here. He postured. He turned his heart to the Father. In prayer, and I talked about this last time I shared, but in prayer, we need to make sure that in our time of prayer, we are postured towards him. We're not distracted by the things around us. I encourage everybody to create a space where it could just be you and the Lord. Not I'm fitting God in where I can, but more I'm taking this time and there's nothing going to be distracting around me. Right? This 5 minutes, this 10 minutes, this 20 minutes, I'm going to be between, it's going to be me and the Lord, and I'm postured towards him, right? Those of us that are married, we know this, right? That if we are distracted when we're talking to our spouse, right? What do we feel? Or what do they feel? They don't feel honored. They don't feel respected. If we're sitting at dinner with them and we are on our phone or we're looking around or whatever, and we're not here with them, right? What are they? We're not building connection. And so when we're praying, at any point, let's make sure that we're postured towards the Lord, that our hearts are postured towards him. It's not just words. It's not just a moment. Okay, God, let me throw a couple things at you. Hope you catch it. But no, I'm postured towards you. Because what happens? When my heart is postured towards him, I begin to hear what he cares about, not just what I care about. Right, I know I have a laundry list of things. Right, sometimes can we just be so for real? Sometimes we can treat God like Amazon. Let me just put it in my cart. Right, and here's my list. God, take care of that. When in fact, I need to posture my heart towards God because there are things that He cares about that I haven't even been thinking about. And he's going to say, hey, yeah, I care about those things, and I care about your family, and I care about your job, and I care about all the things that you want to see. Also, here are things that I care about, son. Here are things I care about, daughter. And these are the things I need you to work on. The only way I'm going to get that is if I'm postured towards him. I think it's safe to say that the reason why Jonah ended up where he was is because he didn't start postured towards God. He literally turned and went the other way. And what did it take? It took God providing, and this is what the word of God says, is it provided a big fish to swallow Jonah up. Now, you know, this next illustration, it's funny, and I wish Nancy was here because I know that I can relate to this, and I know that everybody in here can relate to this as well. But I had a really hard time thinking of an actual example. But it's like when we admit that we're wrong to our spouse. And so I couldn't think of a time I've admitted I was wrong. I have, but I think that I'm just always so right that it's very rare, right? And so that's a joke. But why do we do this? Why do we admit we're wrong? And let me just give a little bit of marriage advice for a second, right? I think we're going to be married here in 20 years. I think we've deemed that, you know, we have proven something that we've done something right, right? 20 years in July, we've done something right. And so let me give a little bit of marriage advice, is that it is so vital that we admit when we're wrong, that we put pride aside and say, you were right. And it may taste just so gross coming out of our mouth, right? But But here's why. And here's why we admit when we're wrong. We do this to clean up our mess. In our family, we use this this verbiage, clean up your mess. We tell this to our kids. Hey, you treated your sibling wrong, or you did something that offended them. You need to go clean up your mess, right? That means that, and they know what that means. Even our four-year-old Tegan, we know that he knows as soon as we say you need to clean up your mess, he knows that means that he needs to go to the person and repent and ask for forgiveness. And that's cleaning up her mess. So this is why we admit we're wrong. We admit we were wrong because we do this because we want to restore connection. I am so, it's so important to me to be connected to my spouse that I want to make sure that there's any moment where there's not connection, I restore it. Why? Because we have a real enemy that would love to see Eric and Nancy fail in a marriage. We have a real enemy that would love to see our marriage break down from something so silly and something so stupid. And so I want to make sure that I'm restoring connection wherever I can. And the third reason why we do this is we do this because we want to remain close. So this is with me and my spouse. Why do we repent to the Lord? Why do we clean up our mess? Is because we want to stay connected to the Lord. We want to stay close to him. When God says, I want you to do this, and we do this, we need to make sure that we humble ourselves. One, because he's so graceful. Amen. God could have let Jonah drown in that sea. God could have sunk that whole ship and said, you know what? I'm cursing this whole thing because you're not obeying me. But in his mercy and his grace, he allowed him to live and said, let me give you a second chance, right? I don't know about you guys. I love second chances. I love that I'm able to say, God, I see where I'm wrong. Thank you for correcting me, and I'm now going to go do the thing, right? This is our God. I'm reading this book right now. It's called Praying the Bible, rather. If you're looking for a good book to read, it's really small. It's by a guy named Donald S. Whitney. And I've taken a lot of great resources from that. But one of the things that he recently that I read is he used this acronym, and I know Pastor loves acronyms, and it was ACT. When you pray, and these are just the three things that doesn't always have to be this, but this is just a good tool, I think. I read it, I was like, that's really good. But when you pray, pray in adoration, yeah. Adoration to the Lord. Right? It's so easy to be self-centered. Right? That's just our human nature. Our human nature is to look inward. When in fact, when we come to the Lord, our inwardness should look upward. Yeah. And so pray in adoration, in just the awe of God, and really try to press into that. Pray in confession. God is the safest place. In the presence of God is the safest place. And there may be things that we're holding on to that we don't want to let anybody know, but it is God that we can confess to. Why? Because he restores all things. He takes all those things. You say, okay, I see. And it's not like he doesn't know, but he takes those things and say, okay, great. Now I'm going to take this mess that you've created, and I'm going to make something beautiful with it. And then pray in thanksgiving. Pray in thanksgiving. It's something we tell our teenagers all the time. If you don't know what to pray, start thanking the Lord. Start thanking him even just for the little things. Start thanking him even for just breath in your lungs. Start thanking him for clothes on your back. Just begin thanking him. And I have this conviction because I've seen this happen, is that when I don't know what to pray and then I begin thanking him, I then begin to realize just the goodness of God. It exposes the goodness of God in my life when I'm thankful. Amen. So I want to end with this. Praying isn't an option for believers. It's an absolute. If we want to be connected with the Father, we must connect with him. The excuses of I don't have time or I don't know what to say are tired excuses. And frankly, today we can't afford to have those excuses. The body of Christ needs Christians. Let me say this. The body of Christ needs Christians praying more than ever. It's like I said during worship, no matter, like our world right now can be so ugly, can be so messy. There's some heinous things going on in our city, in our nation, in our world especially. We need to make sure that as believers that we're praying. Your marriage and family needs you praying more than ever. Your workplaces and schools and communities need you praying more than ever. Our country, especially our world, needs Christians who pray. And not the safe prayers, but the big, bold, scary prayers. The prayers that make you question if you actually believe God can do that. I don't know if you guys have ever been in that space where you're praying and you're like, man, I'm praying this, but I don't actually know if I believe this. And I think it's safe to say that's okay. Like, our God will fill in the gap, right? I'm praying it because I'm being obedient, but sometimes these prayers can be so grand and so big. Can he actually do that? Can he actually heal that? Can he actually touch that person? Can he actually reach that individual? Can he actually restore this thing? I don't know, but my job is not to know. My job is to pray, to lift it up. The prayers that make you question. As we leave this place today, can we make a decision today to get in our prayer closets, to get down on our faces before the Lord? Can we decide today that the days of making excuses are behind us, and that not only are we going to pray more, but our families are going to pray together as well? Can we level up our prayers in Jesus' name? Amen. Let's pray. So God, we thank you so much just for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. We thank you, God, that you allow us, Lord, to come before you. God, I just pray, Lord, that hearts would be stirred today, Lord, that hearts would be stirred, Lord, towards you, God, and that the prayer times we have, God, would level up. Lord, let us just be so stirred up. God, let us be drawn to you, God. Let us be attracted, God, to the things that you're attracted to, God. Lord, I break off any distractions, God. I break off any excuses, God. Lord, and I pray that today, Lord, we would desire to just to be so close to you. Lord, that our hearts would burn for what your heart burns for. God, I pray for this house, God. I pray for One Life Family Worship, Lord, here in Selah, Washington. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this would be a house of prayer, God. Lord, that this place would be full of individuals, Lord, that say yes to you, God. To say yes to your will, to say yes to spending time with you, to saying yes to bringing their families to you, God. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing in this place, God. Lord, we honor you and we thank you, God, for the history, Lord, that this church has, God, for all the encounters we've been to, Lord, for all the prayer meetings we've been to, God. And we thank you, Lord, that today is a new day, God, Lord, that we're not looking for what you've done in the past. We're looking for something new, God. We're looking for new manna today, God. Lord, we thank you. You're raising up, Lord, individuals, God, prayer warriors, God, leaders in this house, God, that are going to say yes to you, Lord, that are going to bring people along with them, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're going to raise up evangelists in this place, God, that are going to leave this place and they're going to reach the nations, Lord. That you're going to raise up preachers in this place, God, that are going to preach your word. You're going to lift up, Lord, apostles and teachers, God. We thank you so much, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you, Jesus, that you, Lord, reign in this place. God, let your presence dwell here, God, and let your presence dwell in every house represented here, God. Let this not just be a Sunday thing, God, but let us take this with us, Lord, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for your house. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Have a great week, guys. Love you.